Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Video Games to the Max. I think this is episode 295, and I am your host, Sean Garmer. Here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And we are live on the Twitch and on Facebook at 2 a.m. Eastern time right now. So if you happen to be awake, or I guess on the West Coast, and it's only 11 over there, and you want to watch us, you can go to our WTVNet Twitch channel. Of course, I'll always follow us on there, subscribe to let us know. You can know whenever we have shows. Of course, the other stuff that's on the WTV Network also uses our Twitch channel, like all of Radless's shows whenever they're doing entertainment stuff. And of course, when Eric is doing his thing with the game show or the League of Legends show as well. And of course, we have our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, you can go follow us on there, WTV.com as well. And well, we are on YouTube after the fact, so if you prefer YouTube, you can watch some video there. Of course, listen to us wherever there are podcasts. That's always an option if you just want to listen with your ears instead of watch our, my face and then Mark's black screen there. So just a quick note, sorry for last week. I was not feeling well, had a really bad case of, a really, really bad case of the runs, to the point where I had to lay in bed, and it sucked because last week was not only Thanksgiving, but it was my birthday. So I'm 35 now, but wasn't much of a celebration. I did get to see one movie that we'll talk about in probably a little bit later in the show, and it is gaming related, so you guys will probably care much more about that in this instance. And of course, had the holidays. It's actually my mom's birthday today, so happy birthday to my mom. And of course, Mark, you also had holiday festivities. Anything?
I bought some stuff, like Blu-rays and games. That's about it.
Okay. I mean, yeah, there was those Black Friday sales. I participated in that as well. I'll talk about some of the games that I'll talk about all the games that I bought on that sale. It's officially ended. The Steam one is still going for a couple of days. I'm not sure if the Xbox one is finished or not. Switch actually had a really good physical one at GameStop. They had a lot of games that were down to $27. So if you missed that, I'm not a physical person, so even though on Switch it's actually not that bad because you just carry the cart with you. On the other systems, I really just didn't want stuff physical. But either way.
I bought a digital copy of Fire Emblem and then sold my physical one.
There you go. Let's get into the games. If we want to talk about new stuff, or at least the newest thing that's out, I did Pokemon Brilliant Diamonds. I've played up until the second gym. My Pokemon are all level 22, 23 in that area. Unfortunately, for those people that do not like the experience share is not able to be disabled in this game. So just letting you know, even though it's actually a better idea for them to have it, because apparently this was when they decided to beef up the competition in this, in the Pokemon series. The Elite Four, you have to be around level 70 when you get to them. So it's actually probably a better idea to have the experience share on. I still think it's weird that they know that there's a lot of, players that don't like it. And it's weird that they don't make it an option from the start for them to disable it. Will they ever make it an option? I don't know. I remember this being a problem with Sword and Shield. And then I think they eventually put that in with a patch. So I'm not sure if that will get put in or not, but we'll see. As far as the game goes, it's Pokemon Diamond and Pearl as you remember it, basically, except for the facelift. I like the chibi characters. I know people don't like that, but I actually like the way they look. And I think they look a lot better when they're in battle, honestly, than the people give them credit for. And really, I haven't ever played Diamond and Pearl. So I've kind of been slowly going through the game. Obviously, it's a Pokemon game. So, you know, if you play Pokemon at all, this is kind of going back to the old formula. And, you know, at this point, if you like that, you know, this is the first game. I think they introduced the contest. No, that's, I'm usually not one that really cares for any of that extra stuff in the Pokemon games. I just play the story. I beat the Elite Four. I usually go around and catch Pokemon as I meet them. And then I'll go back maybe and catch some of the legendaries and stuff like that. There is a lot of heavy... there's Diamond and Pearl actually has a lot of the Pokemon that I think people wind up using in the, you know, battles or whatever like that when you're talking about going up against your friends. What I've really found is I usually always try to use Pokemon that are exclusive to that game. I don't go back and try to use like Gen 1 Pokemon or whatever, or Gen 2 if it's a different. I did the same in Sword and Shield. I only use Sword and Shield Pokemon. I didn't go back and try to use, you know, old favorites or whatever. So I've kind of found it difficult to find ones that are only for this game and not like, you know, from older games.
Didn't one of those games it locked all the old ones behind like New Game Plus or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was this game actually. They locked a lot of them here. That, was it Black and White? I'm not sure.
It like ticked off people because they brought over their Pokemon or hey, I want to find Pikachu, and it's like, well, he ain't in here for a while. So
yeah, I don't remember exactly what game, but I do kind of know what you're talking about on that end. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't really have a lot to say. Honestly, I do think Team Galactic is kind of stupid. I don't feel like, for the most part, Team Rocket and Team Aqua and whatever the heck they were and Ruby and Sapphire weren't anything to write home about, but I felt like it at least increased in difficulty and you didn't have the same dumb Pokemon throughout the thing. So far, I feel like the whole Team Galactic thing is just silly and almost a waste of your time, but you know, whatever on that. I have liked some of the two towns that I've been in. You know, there's that. I'm not sure how I feel about the rival guy that feels like he has ADHD and has to run around all the time when you're facing him. But this kind of started the thing with the friendly rival and not so much the in your face, I dislike you rivals. So there is a change in that direction, it seems like, for this, you know, where the series changes into the, oh, let's have the rival that isn't necessarily mean or like, you know, actually once, you know, you guys are competing with each other, this is more of a like, he got here for me and whatever. And okay, cool. And then I'm going to run off to the next thing. Oh, but we got a battle maybe. And then, okay, that's it. It almost feels like the professor is more in your face and kind of with it than, say, your rival is, which is kind of weird. But I kind of like Roman the professor, so that's a neat thing. But yeah, it's Pokemon. If I get more into it next week, I guess I'll talk about it then, but we'll see. I've bought myself a bunch of games with the Black Friday sale. I may do so with the Steam sale as well because there's some games I want to try out for Game of the Year discussion, so we'll see. How that goes. One of them is Life is Strange 2 Colors, which, okay, I'll go through. I bought Life is Strange 2 Colors, which is probably the most expensive one. It was $38 with the standard edition. I didn't buy the deluxe and all that other stuff. Plus, I'd only played Life is Strange 1 to like a certain point, and then I never picked it up again. I never played the other two. So Life is Strange 2 Colors is really the first one that I've actually given a shot. And I played the whole way through. I beat it. I also bought Deathloop, Resident Evil Village, and Persona 5 Strikers. Those were all $30. So, again, if you missed the sale, I'm sure for the Game Awards, they might have a similar sale, but they may not go that low. So, if you missed it, you know, that you missed out on having some really killer games be $30. You know what? Life is Strange for me. I thought that game has some really good story. I do definitely think it deserves to be in like the best narrative category when we're talking about, you know, game of the year kind of thing for that. I really like Alex as a character. You know, I think that the way you go through her story, what happens to her brother, and then how you use that to continue to tell the tale of course, is very important and really drives her. The two romance options are there. I feel like it sort of pushes you one way and not the other towards Stephanie, but it does a good job of trying it, giving you the option to do either one, whether it's the male Ryan or the female Stephanie. So, and you can actually kind of toe the line between both of them for a while until you get to a point where it makes you either choose neither or choose one. And then it's weird that I didn't like the fact that there's an extra option. I understand that he's like the son of another character that's important to the game, but I didn't necessarily like that you're giving people the option, but there's an extra section that's only for them. You know, if you romance the male character, whereas you don't get that if you romance the female character. I chose the Stephanie, so I didn't get that special like extra stuff that you get if you romance Ryan, which is, you know, again, bad decision by Screen, because I feel like if you're going to present both, you shouldn't just have an extra section that's with one and not the other. Considering that I, like, for about like 8 years of my life, I went to Colorado to Vail, which I know it's different than what this section of Colorado is supposed to represent. But it's sort of the same kind of vibe, like the small town kind of vibe. Vail has that sort of vibe. Obviously, it's more of a ski town, but when you walk around the various stores that are in the area where we had our condo, it kind of felt that same way, you know, and it kind of like brought back some memories for me. I thought that was kind of neat to have it set in, you know, Haven Springs in Colorado in that area. I liked a lot of the surprises you get, like the certain sections that they go into. I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't played it yet. But there is this one cool section that actually they make it into a game itself. And I appreciated that they went kind of full ham with it. And it really goes full ham when you get to the end of that part. And that was really one of like the best parts for me, is like getting there and like experiencing that and be like, wow, they really did, you know, they dedicated a lot to that and they didn't have to. So I appreciated for what that was. As far as the emotions thing with Alex, I feel like they did a good job with that. I don't know how the other, you know, powers work. I know you played Life is Strange 1.
Yeah, that was all Mark. That was all time related. Like, you could freeze time to rewind it. And I think in 2, it was all like telekinetic.
Okay. Yeah, so this is more of like your empathy. I didn't really grasp until I was halfway through chapter 2 that you can actually, there's like, you know, NPC characters that you can mess with, you know, their emotions as well. I didn't realize that you had the ability to do that until it tells you at the end, oh, you made this decision and other people made this decision. I was like, oh, that's why there's a button and they have a little circle on their head. And I can actually, you know, it doesn't have to just be with the main character, it's a little side character as well. So I kind of missed that. But for the most part, it was fun, like going through and seeing what people's thoughts were and then deciding if you know, wanted to change that or not, or help them or not. And
there was something like that in the first game where there are instances where like a bird would die randomly, like go like fly into like a window, and you could like rewind time and open the window before it does that, so the bird would survive.
Okay.
And it's like not in the, it's not explicitly said in the game at all until the end when you get like the checklist and it's like, oh, you saved 4 birds or you saved the bird.
Doesn't it by chapter, does it by the whole game?
I did it by chapter because that was episodic. Okay.
Yeah, this does. I mean, it's all in one game, obviously, instead of the different episodes. So, but it does have the chapter set up.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to the next chapter, it blatantly tells you. So, yeah, for the most part, I really enjoyed it. And if you like narrative based games, I think this is one you definitely should try out. Even if you haven't played any of the other Life is Strange games, I definitely think this is worth a shot on its own, and you don't have to know anything about the other Life is Strange games at all. This is its own self-contained story. And, you know, like me, now I'm possibly considering, you know, if I want to play Life is Strange Remastered or whatever, or was it Before the Storm was the other one Deck Nine did. So, and they also have DLC with Stephanie, which I've considered for $13 if I want to buy it or not. We'll see. But I got a lot of other stuff to get to. I did give Deathloop a shot. It hasn't hooked me really quite yet.
Like I said, it takes a while to really get going.
if I had only bought that game and that's the one game I'm trying, maybe I would have like not jumped to something else really fast.
Like they introduced, like how many loops did you do? Probably just like one or two.
I did like three or four. I mean, the thing was, I died a few times until I got the hang of it. Like choosing when to be sneaky and then choosing when to like just go in there, you know.
Yeah. See, the thing about that game really is you find something called residuum, which is like some element that you can find. Have you seen like weird objects that are like purple?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's residuum. And you get that like later on and you can absorb that later on. And
okay, I was wondering what you would do with that. Yeah.
I was like, is this like a graphical glitch when I first saw it? Or like, what the hell is this? What that does is it allows you to basically save your loadout. So let's say you find a gun you really like, you can save it, and then the next time you loop, you have that gun automatically.
Okay, so you don't lose it. Like,
and it works for like weapon modifiers on the weapons, like, you know, trinkets or additions, and it also works the slab thing. So like my guy, when I loop now, I can automatically teleport. And I can link guys to get like link enemies together. Like I throw out this like projectile that like links enemies together, like health wise. So if I kill one of them, whoever is linked to him goes down.
Okay.
But yeah, I like the clockwork nature of that game because yeah, like certain of those characters, certain like encounters, you can just kind of keep doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that you have the option. You know, obviously from the Dishonored guys, you know, that's in there of like having the option of whether you want to be sneaky or whether you want to just go in there guns blazing. But obviously you have to deal with more enemies if you do that.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed that part and I like Colt as a character. I like how kind of like off the cuff he is of just saying whatever. And sometimes it's just like saying the way he talks to Juliana while, you know, when she's like basically trying to mess with him the whole time whenever they talk.
Have you faced off against her yet?
No, I haven't. I'd only gotten to, I think, like the third world or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
Or the third, like, mission. Like, I went to where I find Colt's, where he lives.
Yeah, okay, then, the apartment, yeah.
Yeah, and then I got to the one after that, and that's kind of where I stopped.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay, well, I'm going to give some of these other games a shot, and then I did get hooked by something else that I'm almost done with now. So I might go back to Deathloop once I get done with this because I'm pretty much at the end. I did give Persona 5 Strikers a shot. I mean, it's a Musou game. So even though it has the Persona, you know, flavor to it, and I did appreciate that. Like, I appreciated going back and finding, you know, going to meet all the characters again.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then, you know, fighting with them and everything else. I feel like it's a game that I don't necessarily like have to rush through or kind of know what that game is. I can kind of take my time with it.
Yeah.
I did really get hooked by Resident Evil Village, considering that I'm not a big Resident Evil fan, not because I don't like the lore or the story or whatever. It's more of just, I played a little bit of 7. I played a little bit of the RE2 remake. I recently bought the 3 remake, but I haven't touched it. I played a little bit of, what is it, 0?
Yeah. That
was, and a little bit of the 1 remake. So, like, yeah. I've never really gotten far in any of them. I just kind of play a little bit, and then something happens where I get distracted by another game or something that's, like, more of my vibe, and then I drop it and I don't come back to it. I own all the games on the PlayStation 4. So it's not that I don't care about the series or whatever. I always am down for buying them when they're on a sale. I don't know. It's just nothing had really grabbed me. And then I just start playing Resident Evil Village. And I don't know what it is. I mean, I guess it's just, you know, knowing that all of you guys, that's the one game that we have like very much like Final Fantasy 7 last year. The one game where we have a consensus is Resident Evil that we all kind of liked it. So
you like it because it's the story of a man trying to find his daughter.
No, not really, because Ethan is a trash. He's kind of bold. He says the stupidest shit I've ever heard, and like, I'm sorry. It's just, there's nothing good about him.
I think it's funny. He walks around like throughout the entire game with like two fingers missing and doesn't care, or you know, doesn't even.
Well, I mean, he did go through the shock of having his arm taken off, and then he puts it back on, and then he puts on this special juice, you know, or the special medic thing, and that
He just like reattaches it. Like he just like sticks it back on. Yeah. He's like, all right, yeah. I'm cool.
It's like, all right, whatever. I mean, so, you know, like I like the, like all the villain characters are actually pretty cool. I mean, the thing that sucks is Lady D is not.
Yeah, she's like the first character or first boss, and she's like barely a factor, really. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, a lot of the marketing is built around her, and you don't see her much. You don't see her much in the area that she's in either, because she's a stalking character, but there's large parts of that castle where she is not a factor at all. And you can would like, forget that she's there.
Or you can like totally break her AI. If you're just going like the save room, she will not like cannot find you, which is really funny.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I mean it's also just funny because like I'll like run around that until you get to the last part where apparently she figures out that she can go into the room with the four statues.
Yeah,
if you go in that room, she like doesn't go there.
Yep,
and you need to be in that room most of the time. So it's like okay, you know. And so, I mean, there was times where she got me because I didn't get into the room fast enough or whatever. But I didn't really find her that that difficult. I mean, it is cool what happens to her, you know, turns into what she actually is. You know, I really think Heisenberg's pretty awesome. I actually kind of felt bad for the Moreau character.
Heisenberg's boss fight is really terrible.
Yeah, I haven't got that's where I'm at actually is the boss before him, the propeller dude.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at. And then I've heard that fight with Heisenberg, so and I did like the little section that's actually more traditional Resident Evil, the one with the baby. I'm glad that was short.
Yeah,
so it doesn't like wear out its welcome. You know, I don't know that it hiding about 20 times would have been really good for the pace of the game.
That was the dollhouse of the doll. That was like before the doll, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, and I really like the merchant. I don't know about the character itself, but the merchant is, I like the fact that there's an upgrade system and I love all the guns. I mean, obviously I have some of the, you know, better guns now or whatever, but I think for the most part, it's like they're always spot on good with, you know, what you need at that moment. I never felt like I like was running out of ammo.
Yeah. That's the thing is I didn't either, but Jens did, or he said he was like constantly like running low on ammo. And I was like, I mean, that may happen like once or twice, but for the most part,
you're always finding stuff.
Yeah. Or,
I mean, you could. There's always the other like weapons, like the bombs and the mines and stuff like that that help you as well. Like, you know, I just had to go through the factory, which to me, I think that's like the worst section because it takes way too long. It feels like it goes on forever. I'm just kind of like, oh my God, be done with it already. And then, you know, you have to fight these dudes with the little weak spot and the
only hit him in the heart. Yeah. Not blocking it. I was like, cool.
And then you get to the point where they're armored and they come out of nowhere in the darkness. And I'm like,
yeah,
damn it. You know, not right now. Like,
you know, it's a lot of fun though.
Yeah.
Replaying that section on the second time when you have an infinite ammo shotgun.
Oh, okay. I bet. I just used a couple of mines and died.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. Whatever. But no, the thing I liked a lot was the, where you go in the lichen den and then you're just mowing through the freaking, wolves like crazy. I love that section too. I mean, there's a lot of good sections, in that game.
See, what's funny is you bounced off of Resident Evil 7 or you stopped playing it. And like the consensus generally is like Resident Evil 7 is a better game or at least maybe scarier.
Well, a better, more of like horror. You know?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to be one of those that probably likes 4 more than... Well, 8 is a lot like 4,
yeah.
Right? That's like more action-based, but this one kind of tends...
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
To keep a little bit more of the horror than, say, four does. So, and four has a merchant too, right? That's the one that's going to get remade next. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm really liking it. I'm hoping to beat it, if not tomorrow, by Wednesday before I go to work. And I will move on probably back to Deathloop, or if I get something on the Steam sale before it ends.
Yeah.
We'll see. You told me that you are now taking your turn at Guardians. You're about halfway through.
Yeah, I bought some stuff also for Black Friday, but now I only bought like one new game, which is Guardians.
Okay.
Jens picked me up Dark Souls, or Demon Souls, rather, for PS5.
Demon Souls, okay.
So I'll give that a shot later on. I mean, that's a year old, but I'm kind of curious to try it, because that's like the one game that actually looked really nice at launch. But I picked up an N64 flash cart.
Okay.
Which is funny, because I don't have an N64 to run it on. I mean, but the cart was cheap, so why not?
Right.
I picked up Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the PS2.
Okay.
Which is not cheap.
Yeah, I imagine not.
That was $160.
Oof. Yeah.
And then I picked up Persona 3 Limited Edition Jade Cocoon, which is a PS1 game.
Yeah.
And Star Ocean, the second story, which is also a PS1 game.
Okay, yeah, that's...
But I got that one for free, because it was buy two, get one. Game. Yeah. And that was like the only game they had that was kind of interesting that I could afford. And then I also grabbed... Oh, yeah. I grabbed Mass Effect Legendary Edition for Steam for $10.
Oh, nice.
Because of the Amazon had a price there for like 5 minutes.
You're always good at grabbing those, yeah. But you already had it for, what, PS4?
Yeah, PS4, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, might as well. but yeah, Guardians is a game I picked up, because I actually picked it up at Best Buy maybe Amazon.
It was 25 there?
No, it was 35, but Walmart was like, oh, our edition comes with a steelbook, but I saw like a lot of people complaining that it didn't, or like they were missing it. So I'm like, eh, screw you guys. So I'm like in chapter 8 of that game. I don't like it.
You don't like it? Why?
Well, the gunplay is fine, or like the gameplay is kind of interesting, like having to manage all the teammates when you're trying to stay alive yourself. Right. Or like, oh,
hey, but they're supposed to help you so you can stay alive.
Well, okay, here's a shielded guy. So I have to freeze his shield down, and then I fire a few like electric bolts at him to like bounce off him and then other people, and then, you know, kill him myself.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like the gameplay itself, like the actual like nuts and bolts gameplay is fine. I hate the voice acting in that game with a fiery passion. I believe me, I understand you can't get Chris Pratt, like the movie cast, through this game. Although Chris Pratt seems to want to voice everything nowadays, so what does it matter? If you're not going to get him, like, if you're not going to get the movie cast, get, like, actual voice actors. Like, get, like, you don't have to get, like, Nolan North, but get, like, people who have, like, done it before. I find Quill's voice actor to be insanely annoying. Jackass. And I kind of know that's the character, but, like, not to that level. The only guy who's done voice acting in that game is, like, the guy playing Groot, which is hilarious because... He only says one fucking line.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voice acting is really doing it in with the story also. Cause like, I don't care about the story because I don't like how anyone sounds. I mean, I guess Rocket's kind of okay, but like, believe me, there are better voice actors in Canada where like this game was made or, you know, recorded. You couldn't find anyone else.
Oh, I guess it just didn't. I thought they sounded fine. I thought Rocket sounded sort of like Rocket, you know, Groot is Groot, whatever, and I didn't have a problem with Quill, you know, like you do. I mean, yeah, he's supposed to be a little bit of an asshole, but that kind of goes away as the team starts bonding, which,
well,
you know.
That's two things. One is, like, there's a whole big kind of fight between Star-Lord and Rocket, like, in, like, chapter 5 to, like, 7 or 8, and I don't know what it's about.
Did you pick the option to throw him?
No, I didn't. No. Like I was fairly nice to him, and then he was basically
they had the fight where he leaves, right?
Yeah, like he takes Groot and they're gone. I'm like, you're in like the space station. I'm just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, because they have a fight over they're basically making him feel like he's not important. And,
yeah,
you know, whether it's his ship or not, or you know, whatever.
two other things. One, that game constantly is referencing other adventures that they had, but that's not good. Like, it's more of like a, well, you're not showing this, and it has no, like, there's no basis of reference for the player. So when you guys are talking about some adventure you had on, like, some other planet, why does this matter? Or, you know, what's going on?
Well, I mean, they're not, this is not their origin story. This is, like, these are the Guardians, and they're kind of, they have been around as a team for a little bit, but you're seeing them, this is the story that makes them the Guardians that you know, where they do become a team and they care about each other and that kind of thing. But they've been on other adventures, so it kind of makes sense. I mean, at least to me, it did. Of like, well, of course they would have other adventures because they've done other things.
Well, it'd be like if you got into a group of friends and then all of the group of friends are referencing event stories or things that happened to the group of friends, and you're just sitting there like an idiot because it's like, well, I have no reference to any of this crap. The other thing I hate is, well, two things I also hate. One is I hate that whenever I go to find, like, materials or the upgrade resources, everyone's always bitching at me about doing it.
Like, when you explore?
Yeah.
And like, they tell you, why are you going that way, Quill, or whatever?
Yeah, or it's, yeah, like, I was on the Nova ship, and I went to, like, one of the hallways, like, with, like, poison gas. And I stopped the gas and got the resources. And I think Gamora was like, "Oh, you'd rather be in a room with deadly gas and talk about if you're the father to this girl." And it's like, no, I'd rather be in this room with deadly gas because it has a fucking metal I need to, you know, upgrade my shit. Like, it's not like the biggest deal. And I also play that game like 80% with the stupid visor on because I have that upgrade or that, you know, thing that's like, oh, you can see resources pop up, and it's like, well, why wouldn't you have that on like all the time? And the last thing is I'll say is I hate that goddamn huddle mechanic.
Okay, yeah, the huddle, no one likes. I didn't like it either.
I've done it like 8 times. I failed 6 times. Like,
how did you fail it? So it's the most obvious thing. It's whichever one talks about team.
No, because there's a lot of them that like, oh, I talk about teamwork, and then everyone's like, fuck you. Or it's like, no, that's dumb. And then they just leave. And I'm like, what the hell?
I only failed it one time because I didn't hear what they said. Other than that, well, I mean, never failed that thing.
They literally pop up words like above the character's head saying, Gamora feels confident, or Gamora, you know, Rocket is depressed. And it's like, okay, well, I'll give like a pep talk answer, and then everyone gets more depressed. And I'm like, okay, then why the fuck would I do this at all then? Aside from like me hopefully getting the damage upgrade.
I mean, like, the thing that is helpful is that you get to use their special abilities, I think, like 2 or 3 times in a row.
I didn't even know that. I just saw that it's like, oh, everyone gets like a damage upgrade or damage. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you get a damage boost, and their special abilities are like they don't do a cooldown for like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, you get the where they placed them.
I'll finish that. How many chapters are in it? Like 14?
17.
Ugh. I don't really mind the game. Like I said, the gameplay itself, it's kind of boring, but fine. But yeah, I just hate, like, the story is, like, hit or miss, like, at the moment. But I just hate the voice acting so much. It's, like, really driving me away.
That's probably because you have to hear a lot of it constantly as well.
Yeah. So that's another game where I could probably dig in the options, turn on the voice acting, that might help, or just turn it off.
Yeah, you can, or, you know, just play it on mute. I
don't know. Yeah.
It might help you.
What else? Me and Jens finished Diablo 2.
Okay.
We finished, like, the main chapter, or main game, like, a week or two ago, and then we finished the expansion, like, a few nights ago. That expansion is no joke. We spent almost 2 hours in one goddamn room.
Damn, really?
Why? Like, Not the last boss, because the last boss is Ball, but the room before him, like the room that he's in before he goes to like his portal, it spawned in like 10 enemies that were hard, then like 10 more, because it's like a gauntlet. 10 enemies were hard, 10 more enemies, which were hard. And then he spawned in like 7 of these guys. One had like a name, like a champion, and his 6 buddies all hit like insanely hard and then had health regeneration.
Oof.
Like very rapid health regeneration, so we kept getting slaughtered and like running back to our bodies. We couldn't like damage them down hard enough. We eventually did because I think I kited like 5 of them away, and then he killed like I ran back and he killed like two or three of them and then you could just kind of go.
Yeah.
But I looked it up later and those guys were like level 57 or 58 and we were like level 30.
Oh, damn. Oh, yeah, of course. 30 leveled.
Yeah. But then we killed Ball. I mean, you got a lot for that too, but that was like, I don't know, half hour. That was like really easy compared to like that room. Kind of still playing Shin Megami Tensei 5.
How's that?
It's still hard. Like that game does not give you any quarter for as far as like introducing new players or, you know, making it easy.
still Shin Megami Tensei game. It's hard. Okay.
I mean, it's, I would say it's harder than like most of them. It's harder than like at least three.
Oh, wow. That's saying something because a lot of people think three is hard.
Yeah. I may buy the DLC that lets you kind of cheat. Like there's an item that lets you gain levels quickly. That'd be useful.
Yeah. I'm sure that it would.
And I think Yen finally got, he was able to order a copy of the premium edition. I don't know if it shipped or not yet, but he was happy.
That's good that he's able to do that. So, should note before we get going, next week the show's going to be on Wednesday because Randy is going to be on. Thursday morning for you guys. So at least we'll get to have Randy on and he'll talk about what he's been able to play, which he's going through Guardians as well. I think he's like in chapter 4 right now and played some other things. Oh, I also got to play It Takes Two a little bit with Anaya. Yeah. So, you know, she laughed at the Dr. Akimi stuff because she liked his accent, but it was funny. We got to the first boss with the vacuum.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
It's, you know, it took her a little bit to figure it out. I mean, I was very I'm proud of her that she wanted to do all the puzzles by herself. She didn't want me to really pass them for her or whatever. And she got good by the time we finished. Of course, we need to go back and keep playing, but I've had to, you know, play stuff myself, so we haven't had time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Go back and play, but I really needed to play some more. I think we got to like section 4, and that's as far as we got. Where you're, she has the hammer, and she played May, and I played forgot his name. The male character.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happened with me and Ian's too.
So, you know, I have the nail and she has the hammer and you have to work together to try to figure out where you go. That's as far as we got. Yeah, I mean, I think that's it for us playing games here. But yeah, I definitely think, you know, more people, hopefully, if you have a friend to play with, definitely play with a friend. I would say don't play with random. It doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be your significant other. Play with a friend, play with a sibling, a child. Definitely more people should play that game. I haven't played all the way through, but from the sections I played with Anaya, we had a lot of fun. We laughed a lot. So I would definitely recommend take advantage of the fact that it's on Game Pass and play that, folks. That being said, let's go on to what is happening in the news. And you mentioned Mass Effect, you know, picking it up and everything. Mass Effect may possibly have a TV show that is being, you know, Amazon is the one that it's actually trying to secure the rights for it. Deadline reports. Of course, this should be for Amazon Prime Video, obviously. There's also rumors that they're doing a Dragon Age. Now, I don't know if Amazon's going to be the one trying to pick that up as well, considering they have the rights, so that'd be two big fantasies. Obviously, Amazon has the money to do it if they wanted to. It's kind of led to one of the lead writers for Dragon Age, David Guider. He really had a lot to say about it. It makes sense.
He wasn't happy.
Yeah, he went off of the fact that, you know, Mass Effect is a game where basically you kind of create a lot of the story yourself as you play, and that's going to be hard to translate into an actual show. As someone that has played a lot of the Mass Effect games, all the Mass Effect games, Mark, I mean, how do you feel about the news of this series becoming a TV show?
I mean, it could work, and I do kind of agree, at least like partially with his viewpoint, but like most video game adaptations have like bad characters or like no motivations, so it's a little weird. Like, look at like the Halo, like what, you know, how is that character going to really work? Because he barely even talks in the game.
Right, but he's still no, but he talks. He just you don't see his face, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the problem is, yeah, I would say Dragon Age is worse because it's not really a defined character. Like, you know, a, I don't want to say pitch man, but like a recognizable main character. Like, at least Mass Effect has, you know, that male model dude. So they'll find someone who looks like him who can hopefully act and cast him in the role. Or else it should just do like a light and dark side for every episode. Paragon and Renegade. Well, he made all the good choices in this one, all the bad choices in this one. I don't know. I mean, have you seen that Cowboy Bebop show?
I watched the first couple episodes.
I mean, people bitch about it. Like, it's not, like, wholly accurate to the anime, but, like, I don't know, that works relatively fine.
Yeah, but I feel like those characters, they already have their motivations, like, what they're supposed to do.
They are much more defined, sure, but I just meant, like, from a, like, a visual aspect, or, like, you know, like a...
I don't think that's the worry for anyone. I mean, like, Star Wars exists. Like, all these other things is, like, making a space show is not what I'm worried about. Like, them getting those characters looking right and the settings that you're in correctly is not, I think, what people worry about. It's more about, okay, so a lot of this game is based on, like, your companions, right? So
the companions are pretty well-defined. It's only Shepard that's, like, a blank slate.
And right, okay, they're well-defined, right? But, okay, they're not going to be able to make the same choices they made for those companions. Some of those companions are going to be, like, footnoted, whereas for some people, those companions were a big deal. That's going to be difficult for them to capture that. They're just going to have to give all these companions, they're going to have to give Shepard whichever version they choose, right? They're going to have to decide whether it's going to be female Shep or male Shep, right? They can't have both they're going to have... romance between the two Sheps, which would be really weird. So, like, I mean,
it should be male Shepard, but given the political nature of things nowadays, it'll be like,
well, didn't BioWare themselves say female Shep is the canon?
I mean, but that came way later. I mean,
wasn't that what they decided? Like, once they made Andromeda, that was supposed to be female Shep was the canon.
I mean, if that's the case, it's really dumb because it's just like revisionist garbage. It's like how Doctor Who has been ruined.
Whatever, you're saying it's been ruined because they added a female doctor?
Right? No, I'm saying it got ruined because they revised the history and crammed in garbage that completely destroyed the character.
I will agree there. We know that Doctor Who bastardized by, you know, the current director and everything.
Yeah, Chibnall. I mean, she was only on, I mean, even if you take into the games, like, she was, like, on the third one, like, the third box art, and that was it.
You're saying it may be something that they decided later, and not necessarily the way it was intended at first?
Yeah. I mean, when you start that game up, the first game, it defaults to male, model, dude, Shepard, you know? Like,
right.
Whenever I boot up a game, I always just pick default. If I want to be a woman, fine.
I usually go by, like, what I've seen the most of. Or just, you know, there's some games where, like, for me, it doesn't matter. You know, like, let's say, okay, Pokemon, because at the beginning, there was no option to have gender, right? That was later. I've always been, because it's supposed to be more reflection of myself, so I always pick the male character. But say in, let's say, Scarlet Nexus, right? I pick the female character. And some other games where you have the license to, like, create what you want, I usually create a female character. A lot of times it, like, matches that game, really, so I'll go with that. I think, yeah, unless I'm, like, trying to be more of, like, myself, then I'll pick the male character, but for the most part, I usually pick, like, the male character.
Well, that's what I said for Far Cry 6 and Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Like, Valhalla starts you off with male character, so I'm like, okay, I guess they want me to play male character. I think Far Cry 6 starts you off with, like, a female. It doesn't start with, like, a female character, but, like, that's, like, the first option on, like, the menu.
Well, it should be, because Danny's the only thing they ever showed in that.
Trailers. It's a gender neutral name, so, like, even if you pick a male, his name is
Danny. No, I'm just saying, like, they've never even shown that there is a male option,
right,
in the trailers.
I mean, that was the uproar about Valhalla. Is, like, people were like, oh, you don't show the female Ivor, like, in the commercials and stuff. She's a kind of an afterthought, but it's like, oh, I mean, they should just have you play a character, you know? This, like, gender, this, like, picking and gender stuff is, like, really weird in these games to begin with. So,
I'll agree with you to that point. Like, maybe those games really do need to just pick one and stick with it, especially because they tend to really show their hand as to which one they really wanted it to be.
Yeah, like Odyssey, like they mainly showed the girl.
Right.
Like, okay, I picked her. That's fine, you know. Or even Syndicate, like you switch between them both at the same time, because like the brother and sister.
Right.
But you could still kind of see they favored the sister more. Like, she had much more of a story.
Yeah.
It's like, fine, just let me play her. Like, I don't care. Like, I personally don't care who or what I play as. I care more about, like, them building a good story around the character.
I agree with that, yeah. You kind of go based on... But I think, like, Mass Effect was built with both, and you kind of go with that. But then having to arbitrarily pick one when people are so used to, you know, you get that option... I think it is really going to affect some people, and they're perhaps watching.
I mean, this is a long time ago, but I think EA once said that, like, the majority of people just pick, like, male default Shepherd. Like, soldier. Right.
Some people may not even have known that there was...
No, they know. Because it very specifically, it lays it all out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Still, it is going to be very interesting how they go about it. They're going to have to give whichever Shepherd they choose an actual character of someone's choosing. It's not going to be like your own. It's not going to be blank state character. They have to give him some kind of character, because then it's boring to watch. So,
hey man, it worked for Mario.
You know, Mario is a different thing. But still, we'll see how that goes. I mean, it's cool. It's cool that Mass Effect is going to have its own show, at least.
I think a show is much better than the movie they were kicking around like a decade ago.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, this is so long that you need to have a show. You know, I agree. It's like Witcher, I think, doesn't... It works as the fact that they gave it more length as a show.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm glad that they made that decision. We're not going to try to cram so much stuff into one movie or make it into a trilogy of movies. Let's make it a show and see what we can do.
I think an average book is like, 300 pages, give or take. But a lot of that is set up, like describing environment or inner monologue or, whatever. Games have a script too, which they're probably shorter in length, but it's a lot more dialogue or action, or
just there's the action sequences that you're interacting with, right? That's different than when you're reading it or watching. So
yeah, so that's why, as a whole, I think shows are much better than a movie. Or at least it can look like Sonic worked, but Sonic has fucking no plot, so who cares?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Mario will probably work because, again, it has the same plot.
Or even like
over and over.
I know some people complained about it, but even like Detective Pikachu, because...
I mean, what is there to complain about? That was great.
Jens didn't like it.
Oh, well, Jens is Jens. He's particular, but,
But, like, I think, as a rule, I think shows are better, but they're also way more expensive.
Yes.
Like, I think that's going to be, I mean, it'll never happen to begin with, but, like, the proposed Metal Gear movie sounds awful. That's a long-ass game to begin with, and trying to cram that into 2 to 3 hours ain't going to work.
Yeah, probably not. And then also, like, where do you go after that? If you made it a show, you could, like, each game could be its own season or whatever.
Yeah.
But I understand why they wanted it. The movie is the same thing. Like, I'm glad Halo was a show and not a movie, because there is a lot of Halo lore that you can now explore.
I think initially Halo could have worked as a movie, just Halo 1 as a movie.
Right.
But, yeah, the characters, like, the story has grown, and also it's a bigger franchise, so people want it more.
Exactly. I'll agree, on that front. So, speaking, since we're already talking about movies, I probably should have ran into this when I talked about Resident Evil Village, but I did watch the Resident Evil Welcome.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Raccoon City movie. First of all, I should know that obviously this is a 10-year-old. She liked it a lot, Anaya, so... there's something for that. I think, here's the thing. If you go into it expecting super amazing effects of the other Resident Evil movies and all that stuff, I think that is going to be jarring. No better depiction than the terrible, The only thing that I thought looked really bad is the Hellhound, because they don't even try. Like, it's just, it's the dogs.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So, like, the dogs is just, like, pale eyes, slobber. Oh, they bit the dude, and then, you don't really see them change, you know? So it's, like, it's not as cool as when you see them in the other Resident Evil. Some of the zombies, when they're at the police station, look really bad. You can tell that they told them, you can see where in the scene they tell them, oh, you need to act more like you're angry. It's like you see them do it right there in front of you, and it's not great. I thought for the most part, the movie was actually decent in telling this of, like, basically mashing one and two together, you know, because you have all the characters of one and two. Well,
in that movie, Jill Valentine didn't kick a dog, jump off two walls and kick a dog.
No. And then I also think, like, Jill is the person they chose for Jill worked for me.
Really? Because I think she's the biggest actress in it.
I guess, but it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's like her and Leon, they didn't pick people that represent them well as far as, like, looking the part.
Wasn't Leon like a Spanish guy?
Yeah, Leon was a Spanish guy with, like, longer hair, and I was just like, why almost everybody else looks like their character? You made Leon so different. It's like, that doesn't make sense. It's okay, it's fine. It's like, we get that that's Leon, right? But it's like, I don't know. It's just why the one guy has to look so different from the Leon you're used to, right? Like, Chris, they got it. I thought Claire, they did a really good job. I thought Claire is perhaps the best character in the movie. Jill is okay. Wesker's fine. The guy that plays Mr. X is also probably more one of the well-known actors. And I thought he was okay for the parts that he gets to play in there. They have an extra character, which is not in the games, who kind of, they base some of the story around. So, like, that, I don't know if you know the premise of the movie. Are Chris and Claire actually, like, were they in an orphanage?
No.
Okay, so that's made up for...
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's never said in the game. Maybe in the book.
Okay.
Because you're talking about those S.D. Perry books, and I read some of those when I was a kid.
Yeah, Naya is reading the Resident Evil 01 right now, which, that's what's funny, is that movie almost kind of sort of, like, goes backwards in a way, so by the end, so
I'm looking at it, like, Wikipedia. Yeah, Chris and Claire were orphans, or, like, they lost their parents.
So that's what I appreciate, is, like, the story is actually closer to the game than the bullshit that they pull in the Resident Evil, Paul W.S. Anderson Resident Evil movies, where they just don't give a shit about that, and it's just basically using some characters as a, oh, hey, well, hey, guys, there they are. Be excited, the fact that Jill is in this movie, but it has nothing to do with any of the games at all. It's just our own plot, whatever. So I appreciate the fact that they really did try to kind of stay close to, and actually have a lot of the, they have, you know, pieces and people that are doing some of the similar things.
I saw some review critics. Well, I know the movie's pretty low budget compared to, like,
yeah,
the other ones.
Yeah, it is very low budget. Yeah. It's very
but low. I saw someone complaining, like, oh, the director just put in a bunch of shots, or, like, locations from the game. And it's like,
okay.
Yeah, that's what people fucking want to see.
That's what you want, right? Like, the Spencer Mansion actually looks like the Spencer Mansion, right? Like, that's what you want.
Yeah, so, that's what the first guy failed for the first six times he made those fucking movies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, they capture, you know, the fact of Wesker's, like, path of what he wants to, you know? So, like, they got a lot of the stuff right. It's just the fact that I think people wanted it to, they wanted it to be the Resident Evil other movies, right? The budget of those with the story of this. And so this feels like it's very low budget, obviously. And that sucks on that perspective, but I liked it from what they tried to do. And there's still some cool moments.
I mean,
you know,
I'll probably see it at home when it comes to, like, digital. I'll probably like it more than other Resident Evil films, because this has a story that I, you know, somewhat care about. I mean,
it was this or watching Encanto, and it was hard because it's like, I'm also taking my girlfriend and her dad, and we're going at the 10:45 showing. I said, let's just go with an action movie so everybody kind of stays awake and, you know, whatever. And I was like, the one that liked it the most was the one that I thought would be scared and wouldn't like it at all. My daughter. So now she wanted to read the books, and I'm happy for her. She liked it. It was a win for me on that front. So you saw...
I saw Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, okay. The Afterlife.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine, okay.
I mean, a lot of people are going crazy because of the, like, callbacks to the first one, you know. And it's like, slow your roll, people. Like, the Ghostbusters, like, the old Ghostbusters show up at the very end. They don't do shit for the, you know, they get knocked over, and that's about it. And,
Well, at least they got that one correct, because whether they're old Ghostbusters and they're old, you know, they're not, they're, the right now it's, Ghostbusters, right? So, like, they would get knocked.
Yeah. It was fine. Like, I would say, I'd give it, like, a good solid, like, 7 or 8 out of 10. I thought the soundtrack was just really distracting, because it basically used a Ghostbusters 1 soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Like, over and over, like, certain musical cues. I'm like, okay, you can stop that little piano riff, because I already heard it enough in Ghostbusters, and you bringing it back for the fifth time.
Yeah.
It's not doing this movie any favors.
Once is enough. You don't need to do it that many times.
Yeah. The acting was good. I mean, looked fine. It's not a comedy. Well, I mean, there's, like, very few actual, like, jokes in the movie. I mean, that 2018 Ghostbusters, or 2016, or I think it's
2016. Yeah, 2016.
Yeah, yeah, that movie was, like, crammed full of quote-unquote jokes that weren't funny. So, I would rather take a movie that's not funny to begin with, or not in, like, attempting to be funny, than a movie stuffed to the gills with, like, awful jokes. Where's the new game based on this Ghostbusters movie?
We'll see. I guess if it does well,
then I think maybe. It is doing well, yeah. But not like super.
Yeah. Apparently Encanto did not do that great, but you know, it is what it is. And that's sad because it's a movie with a Latin lead. Makes me
Which sick. One?
Encanto. It's basically like,
oh yeah. I saw a trailer for that.
Coco.
Yeah.
There's possibly a Marvel MMO happening. And Jack Emmert, who was involved with City of Heroes and currently heads up DC Universe Online, is going to be a part of it. It's really rumors right now. There's not a whole lot to go on other than I'm still not going to play because it's an MMO, but that's cool if they can bring another Marvel MMO into existence.
If it was free to play, I might try it, but my fear is the problem with Avengers. It'd be too, like, MCU focused. And also, how depressing is this news for Avengers, like, the Avengers team?
It says there's no validity to it right now. It's just a bunch of leaks. So.
Yeah, but I got the feeling this is, like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, believe me, Marvel or Disney wants Marvel to be doing well in the game space. And, like, Guardians is fine, but that's not, like, the endlessly profit-generating thing that, like, Marvel, you know, Disney wants it to be.
Right. They want Avengers to do well to the point where they can keep getting something out of it. It's not right now. I mean, Spider-Man also did well, and Miles Morales as well. So.
But, like, again, those are, like, those are, like, a few months' worth of profits, or, you know, I'm sure they covered the cost of the game out and made money, but it's not, like, $60 million a month, or $60 million a month on, like, MMOs.
Yeah, for sure, no doubt. Again, Disney wants something they can keep putting something into. It didn't work with Ultimate Alliance. It seemingly is not going to work with Avengers, even though it has a good story mode. But the multiplayer aspect is not helping at all. So
how much do you think Disney or Marvel/Disney regrets what happened to Marvel Heroes?
I think this is why this is happening. They want one that was existing before Disney took over. So either way, it was going to get...
Yeah.
They want to have their own thing that has their stamp on it. And this is why this would be happening, because they said, okay, well, Avengers didn't work. You know, obviously these single player things work for us, but they're not a cash cow. They're not something we can keep putting money into. The only other thing we have is let's do an MMO and see if we can use the power of Marvel to get people to want to play it.
I think it's going to run into the same problem that DC one did, where, like, everyone wants to play as, like, Wolverine, just like everyone wanted to play, like, you know, Batman, but they're just quest givers.
We'll see. Obviously, they know Wolverine is a well-thought-out or well-loved character because he has his own single-player game in the world.
Well, I don't mean him specifically. I just meant like people want to play as named characters or like their favorite character. They don't want to necessarily make their own like random jackass.
Oh no, definitely not. I mean, yeah, that's the whole thing. I don't want to play with my own character that I made. Whatever. I want to play with as those characters. Yeah, I agree with you. They'll have to figure it out. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, they have to have content planned out for a while here. Just like you try to do with Avengers, but look, you have, a certain Final Fantasy 14 to look at and try to see how you can make that work.
Yep, but you can just plug Blade into the main character role and copy that game directly.
I don't know. It's not easy to do, even with the power of Marvel. If the game it's based on is not good, make one of these, but it's not going to do well.
That's kind of my fear is anything that Marvel really has a hand in seems to not do well.
Yeah, and I think to make this game work, you'd have to have Kevin Feige and other folks from the higher up at Marvel creating stories for it and really giving. Yeah,
I guess, partially, but I mean, like, think about like Spider-Man, like that is wholly disconnected from the MCU.
Yeah.
Think about Guardians of the Galaxy, like that's mostly disconnected.
Right, but those are single player games. You can do that with MMO. You have to have so much behind it. You have to have story. You have to have
no story is one. I don't mind story. They can create whatever the hell story they want, but I just mean like it's going to be so corporate focused on MCU that. Like, look at, like, Marvel's Capcom Infinite, or look at, Avengers.
Even Ultimate Alliance kind of focused that way as well?
Partially, yeah. Like, it didn't have a ton of weird characters, yeah.
I mean, but see, the MMO, if it works well enough, you can eventually start putting in the weird oddball characters or whatever.
It was before Disney took over, but, like, when Marvel Heroes came out, like the MCU already existed, but they had their own separate story and like roster and characters, and it was fine. They just had like the MCU, costumes, and they sold well, obviously, because that's what people wanted. But
I think it's more about you got to make sure you get the game right.
Yeah,
and obviously have a story that's interesting and that drives people along. And again, look at that Final Fantasy 14 model of. Okay, how do we do expansions? Who are we going to base these expansions around? And then what characters are we going to add along with these expansions? And, how are we going to go about providing a roadmap for when we add certain characters?
Don't cheap out like Avengers or Spider-Man.
Yeah. You can't make Spider-Man exclusive to only the PlayStation or whatever. It's got to work. I don't understand how you use Spider-Man. You make this big deal. He's exclusive. And then there's nothing exclusive about him other than the fact that he looks dumb.
He looks like garbage.
Yeah, he doesn't look good. Bad Avengers. Bad. Speaking of Square Enix, hey, what do you know? We're talking about Square Enix talking about a game not selling well. Like, when is this not a thing, Square? They already kind of noted that, I noted that if Guardians keeps going down, they might say the same thing about Guardians. But apparently, Neo, the World Ends With You did not sell well. I mean, there's probably a reason why it's like on sale for $15, I think it was, at Walmart.
Yeah.
That I think tells you everything you need to know. The fact that it's on sale $15 at Walmart.
It's a shame. I have no opinion on the game itself. Like I didn't play it or the prequel, but at least we're not blaming the white guys for making a bad game.
Yeah, like they're playing Crystal Dynamics, why Avengers sucked.
Yeah.
So, I've only played the demo of Near World of You, so I can't comment either on, the game itself. It's just, the game is niche. I mean, it has been stuck into Kingdom Hearts because it's another Nomura thing, but the difference between that, Kingdom Hearts has Disney, right? Kingdom Hearts has all these years of
decade and a half.
And all this stuff like, Neo, World Ends With You was like shelved for how long until they redid it on the Switch. And then, now we have a second game. It doesn't really have those characters or the main character from the other games. It's starting off with like new characters. And then it's also kind of convoluted in a way. So it doesn't really draw in. It doesn't bring in people that may be interested in Kingdom Hearts that know the series from there to play this game. It's a totally different kind of game. So I don't know. It's just, I don't think Square Enix can ever imagine that that game was going to sell hotcakes or whatever. Now, they did a good job of making sure it wasn't just on Switch, right? It was on PS5.
Yeah, but I saw like that, like Square didn't promote it at all, and they basically just made Nintendo promote it.
And yeah, but I also feel like it came out and it pretty quickly just it did not have a very good hype cycle either. It's like I don't feel like it got a lot of because it obviously takes it's a long game, and it also takes a certain person that really likes that to review it. So I don't know. It just, there's a lot I think with this that doesn't work and wasn't ever going to lend itself to becoming this huge series. It was always going to be one of those niche series that, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm kind of curious because I don't think it actually said how much it sold. So I'm curious if it actually sold well and they just have crazy expectations like they constantly do. If it really didn't sell, that's a different matter. But, you know, yeah. Who knows?
Let's move on. One that pulls my heartstrings because I know I fear the worst because of a lot of what's happened. Games that Epic buys or companies that Epic buys.
Yep.
I'm already counting down the days to when with the announcement that basically Harmonix has become another Fortnite studio. Or
I mean, that was the announcement.
I mean, it is. They're making musical experiences for Fortnite. It's sort of like the main thing they're going to be doing other than continuing to support Rock Band and Dance Central with DLC. I don't know where this, or Fuser, I'm sorry, Fuser and Rock Band. They're not going to make new instruments. They're not going to like make another game. I mean, why would they really? Rock Band 4 has been made into a service kind of thing at this point anyway. So,
well, let me ask you this. With the news that Epic bought, or you know, is buying Harmonix, do you think Harmonix ever makes another game?
Oh, I do think they'll make, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Rock Band wants, because they've wanted to put it on PC forever, so.
Well, I meant like a new game.
I could see them making
not Rock Band 5. I meant like an actual new game.
Well, they did, technically, right? Fuser, and then it didn't do that well. I could see them making like a weird kind of game, like something where it can amplitude or whatever again. But I don't think you're going to see another big game like Rock Band or whatever. I don't think you're going to see. I think they'll keep supporting Rock Band to a certain extent until Epic kind of gets tired of.
I don't even see that being long for the world.
No, I don't think we're going to have another DLC pack where they put in stuff that everybody wanted. I don't think we're going to see that. I just think they're going to do what they did with Rock Band 3 for a long time. You'll still see them put out the two songs every week or whatever. I mean, this week they just put out like 11 Newton-John's like physical. And then they had Fuel's Shimmer, I think, the week before or whatever. I mean, so they're still putting out music. I need to actually transfer all my songs onto my external drive and so I can play it on my Series X. You know, I think the bigger miss is that people were hoping with Epic being able to buy them, that means that, okay, now they have the cash flow to be able to make new instruments and add stuff into Rock Band 4 that people have wanted and all this stuff. And it's like, you guys are really like hoping for the sky here. They're not going to do it. I mean, look at what's happened to Fall Guys.
Yeah.
They add skins, and that's kind of it. Like, I don't really see them. There's still obviously a player base, but I don't see this, like, it didn't explode more because it bought them. In case, you could actually make the case that it, like, did the reverse.
I mean, the other example, my favorite example is Trigger Entertainment. I mean, they made Shadow Complex, and then I think EA or Epic bought them, and then they made this Infinity Blade game, which were fine, but it wasn't fucking Shadow Complex 2. And they were always like, oh, we just need the money for Shadow Complex 2. And it's like, you're owned by Epic. Like, they don't have the money. You know, it's not like this game would cost $1 billion to make.
I think it really depends on.
And clearly, like, as you've seen, like, you know, Bloodstained and other crap, or even like Metroid Dread, like, there's a market for crap.
Yeah, there is. The thing for me is I think it really depends on what happens with the Fortnite. If the Fortnite stuff does well, that might give them the freedom to where Epic could say, okay, yeah, you can do your own
thing. I mean, I like Harmonix, but like I've said, I think they're just done as like the cool little Boston developer that could. Like,
No, I we're not going to see them Harmonix that they were. Like, I think the people that are having that dream are people that are just like living in nostalgia. They're still the ones that are playing Rock Band every day. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, I love Rock Band. Rock Band is one of the reasons why I still play games. It is one of the reasons why I absolutely love classic rock music. And there's so many bands that I would not even know anything about if it wasn't a Rock Band. I owe Rock Band a lot. I'm just saying, like, please stop thinking, oh man, this company came and bought them, so that has a bunch of money, so they're going to drop all this money into the game that we love. No, they're not, because they bought Harmonix to help out Fortnite, and also probably to like give Harmonix a, so you don't have to go into the dumpster bin, which is nice. Again, it keeps people working. All those, that developer keeps existing, and they get to keep jobs, and that's great. And I love the fact that that studio gets to continue, those people that are at Harmonix, still doing their thing, still getting to make music. They're still getting to make music, right, in a different way. They've always tried to do something different aside from Rock Band. Dance Central, Fuser, the Fantasia thing, Drop Mix. They tried to the Rock Band VR. Like, they've always tried to do something different, and I appreciate that. And they always have to go back to the well because it's really the only thing that has really stuck out for them, unfortunately. And for one reason or the other. And they tried to bring Rock Band back. It didn't work. And there's nothing that tells you that Rock Band will ever come back.
They said that when Rock Band 3, well, not ended, but, you know, that died down.
I mean, Activision tried to bring back Guitar Hero at the same time. It still didn't do anything. It's just people are past that, you know? Rocksmith exists that lets you actually learn how to play a real guitar if you want to, like, and it's actually really freaking good. And I am sometimes, especially with what they announced at E3, sometimes I fiddle with the idea of, man, maybe I need to go pick up that game and actually do that. You know, it was a time. And I think the only thing that would possibly do something for them is if they were able to revive Beatles Rock Band and put in the other albums. That might be the only thing that perhaps gives, but that would cost so much money that I don't even think even Epic would bother with that, because that's all the licenses and everything else that they would have to go through. Now, obviously, different deal than when Harmonix was going through. Now the Beatles are on everything. They're on Spotify. They're on Apple Music. They're on whatever. You wouldn't even think about what happened years ago. Obviously, unfortunately, I don't want to say it this way, but it had a lot to do with Michael Jackson dying. It goes back there. Their catalog. As much as I love Harmonix and Rock Band, I agree with you, Marcus. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be some revitalization of Harmonix. I'd love for them to be able to make some smaller game involving music or whatever, but I don't think we're going to see this big, huge Harmonix. Right. And I would not be surprised if we're counting down the days to just one day randomly, they again announce, I'm sorry, but DLC season, you know?
Yep.
Because it's Epic, right? Like, for every story of like a Rocket League continuing, and whatever, like, it has a fan base, but it's not this huge fan base that like Fall Guys and Rocket League and some of these other things that Epic have bought. It's a very niche fan base. And like, Epic's basically kind of like sustaining them to where like, okay, well, y'all can keep doing your little thing over here, but you got to help us and do stuff for Fortnite. And if, let's say, nobody gives two craps about the music stuff that they put in Fortnite, I think that will start unraveling and cause Epic to be like, well, why are we over here funding for them to continue their little game over here that does nothing? Like, at some point, somebody's gonna hit the light switch and go, yeah, we're just wasting our money.
That's about 4 years from now.
I mean, it'd be cool if it lasts 4 years, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I just don't see it as a lifeline to bigger things. It's more of a, like, we're just sustaining it. And it all depends on how that stuff with Fortnite is. Moving on from that, I know. Oh, man. Sorry. We have gone a long time here. I did not think we would still be. I think we definitely, because we didn't talk about it, like, had just started to come out when we did the previous show. So I definitely think because we've talked about the other stuff involving Activision Blizzard, we have to talk about this here. I know it's probably not everybody's favorite cup of tea that listens to gaming podcasts at this point. But we do need to discuss it here. Bobby Kotick got himself in a bunch of mess. At one point, he had shareholders asking for him to resign. Then he had a board backing him still. Then it came out that apparently he knew about many of the sexual misconduct allegations. And this is the problem, right? For a large part of this, it's been Blizzard. It's been, oh, this is all involving Blizzard.
That's what I always said.
And then, right, you were the one of the ones that's, and you were correct, right? Most of this involved Blizzard. Then it comes out that, oh, he knew about the alleged rape of a former Sledgehammer Game employee by a male supervisor in 2016-2017. Something that he withheld from the Activision board. That is not good at all. That is awful. And this is a CEO of your company withholding something huge like that. That is awful. And then also, he blocked Dan Bunting, the former Treyarch studio head, from getting terminated over being accused of sexual harassment in 2017. You're not reveling your, you know, putting yourself in a lot of glory here. It seems like you are an instigator of why the company has this mentality. You're blocking people from getting fired for things that people should be fired for. I mean, or people should be, you know, not just fired, but like exiled from the industry for, and especially the rape. I mean, like, what are you doing, Bobby? What is wrong with you as a human being? Like, I don't understand this. And then it's like, okay, well, you had a staff petition that came out as well, and that you had 1,300 Activision Blizzard employees that say they no longer have confidence in leadership Bobby Kotick. That's not. And then even the worst damning thing is all three of the major console makers came out against what has been happening. Even Nintendo, for God's sakes. Nintendo decided, Doug Bowser decided to get himself involved here and send an internal email to everybody telling them we're not cool with it. Like, wow. You know it's bad. You know it's bad when that is happening. And then even more, supposedly Bobby Kotick says, I will resign if we can't quickly fix this problem. Look, here's the thing. It's not a quick fix. This is going to take time to implement. And first of all, you got to get rid of a lot of people, because that's a lot. You know, you need to get rid of people that have any allegation, misconduct or whatever, and start fresh. And you try that, and then you still, I forgot her name now, the female.
Jen O'Neill?
Yeah, Jen O'Neill leaves because she found out basically she was like a token. She was basically given the job almost because she was, it's like, you didn't help yourself there either. Like, the one person that was supposed to be like, okay, we're now really moving in a direction, and then she leaves. Oh, and then worse, Kotick, remember the lady that was formerly part of like the Bush administration that had the terrible letter that she sent? Okay, Kotick supposedly wrote that, not her.
Which is funny, because after it came out and was like criticized, he was like, oh, we should have done better. And I was like, not we,
and
you.
Then he basically, like, so he was talking to himself when he writes that other letter where he like calls that first letter tone deaf. Like, do you have some kind of like mental issue that you need to go get yourself checked out? Or, I mean, like, how do you basically hide behind somebody else's name? Then you come out and you're the one that wrote that terrible letter that was really damning and horrible. Like, it's like, dude, I don't think there's much left for Bobby Kotick at this point as far as like saving face.
Especially since, like, I know Call of Duty's not doing as well this year. That's like the big one.
And I mean, that's good. That's good that somebody finally hit them in the wallet where it matters. Now, granted, I'm sure we're going to have people come out and go, well, this is only going to affect the developer. Small people are going to get fired over that, whatever. But it's like, what else are you supposed to do? At some point, the only way you're going to tell Activision Blizzard that you want change is you don't buy their stuff. And
you can't fire 1,300 people.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't fire everyone. Yes, again, there's going to be casualties due to this. But, like, honestly, Kotick should resign at this point. There's nothing here that shows that he is a good leader. Nothing. I mean, yeah, okay, well, you can go back and say a bunch of stuff about how he did this and that and whatever. But it's like everything here just paints him in a terrible light, in a terrible picture. And it looks bad for that company to continue to have him there. Oh, the board is backing him and all that stuff. It's like, really? Are y'all that? It talks about somebody that's tone deaf. That board is tone deaf. Like,
they're all you know, allies of him. So, of course, they're backing him.
It's just, I get it, but it's so terrible for those people that work there that have to continue to deal with this. You know, Diablo 2 Remastered was fine, but it's like, you know, Call of Duty
didn't sell well.
I mean, yeah, I just think that's all going to affect them until they get rid of this, until they get off the stench away from the company and really prove that they're starting into a different direction. And right now they've done nothing.
I imagine they may wait till Christmas or, you know, the next year and just say, we're going to start new.
The fact that Call of Duty is already on sale doesn't help either. You know?
Yeah.
PlayStation's also been accused of gender discrimination in a lawsuit. First reported by Axios, a former IT security analyst, Emma Maggio, alleges that women at PlayStation were paid less than their male peers and were denied promotions. She says she spent 6 years trying to get the company to move her up the ladder, and they denied her. They also, very close to after this came out, they fired her. Supposedly they closed her position or, you know, the area where she worked, but that's not great. And supposedly, like, even, you know, she tried to get some higher ups to talk to her, and they would just ignore her and talk to other male in the same department as her. This is terrible and not great either. That I think is more of like it's something that, you know, again, it, over time it's gonna change.
Yeah,
but it's gonna take a long time to have that not be a thing where it matters what gender you are. It's more about who does the job well and do you deserve to all that. I mean, obviously, it will still matter who you're friends with and who you know and all that. That will probably never change. But I would hope that in the future it will not matter what gender you are. But this is still a cultural thing. It's not just in games. There's so many different industries where women are still, you know, paid less, not treated the same, not treated well. And this goes again to show that gaming is something that has to be worked on continuously. So it's not a thing. It's good that we're, you know, again, it's being called in other places so that we don't think that Sony is beneath this or whatever. Again, this is like one incident. I don't know that. Let's see if anything else comes of this. But right now, it's just kind of like a bubbling story. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it, honestly.
It's not quite as pervasive as the other places.
Yeah. I mean, Activision is just like, it was way too many people.
Yeah.
It's like, when you're having almost a whole company, like, employees coming out and attacking them. Okay, so we're not going to get to everything on this tier. It's starting to get really long. We should mention that Multiverses did officially get announced, because we've talked about this before. That's that Smash Brothers game. It is actually going to be free to play.
That was rumored, but yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's going to have full crossplay support, which is cool, between all the different consoles and PC. Arya Stark is certainly a surprise, I think. You know, I'm not surprised Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, like that, or we knew Shaggy was going to be there, Harley Quinn, Bugs Bunny, you know, all that stuff. Like, yeah, I think, like, having Garnet or Rain Dog is apparently his original character, but, like, I think Arya Stark's the most, like, oddball one out of all these here.
Well, she's, so, like, the one that's, like, a real character or a real person.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it's weird. But, hey, at least they're getting, the actual actress, so.
Yeah,
that's good. They have voice acting at all. You know, like, that Nickelodeon one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's free to play, so I might give it a shot, or, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. 2K22 came out with their first, like, a new trailer, and they showed off some of the modes. There's the GM mode is back, finally. Yeah. I love GM mode. Hopefully they can get this right. They've changed a little bit of some of the, like, button schemes and everything. There's
hopefully not be garbage.
Yeah, there's a My Faction and My Rise, which is creating a stable and then creating a player. That's kind of self-explanatory at that point. Universe mode, which is sort of like their season mode, kind of. And then, of course, the creation stuff. So I really want to see more of what they're going to do with GM mode. That's always been a favorite mode, WWE games for a long time. So yeah. I want to see what happens with that. Are they going to make it deep? Yeah, Phil Spencer, I think this is interesting here because, you know, when we have a company like Nintendo that doesn't want emulation. I mean, they use emulation for themselves, but they don't want other people emulating their stuff. Sony's really never said anything about this. So it's different that Phil Spencer says game industry needs to work towards having legal game emulation solutions in order to better preserve older software. And this is becoming important as, you know, games keep getting older, the old retro games. and it becomes harder to be able to reserve them through their own emulation. You know, they released that 76 batch, you know, 76 new games, and that's supposed to be their last batch because it all the licenses and everything they have to get. And he says, look, yep. There's a way to do legal emulation where we can just run the stuff off a disk.
So that's kind of the question I have is, okay, why can't they just run things off a disk? Like, why are there licenses for games that you already own?
Because they're not meant for that console.
But that's immaterial.
But that's how the licenses work, though.
I would question that because, like, you know, PS2 emulation on the PS3 was fine. It's not like, oh, GTA.
But that was the last time, right? That we had like the direct to
GameCube to Wii.
But that's the thing, though. Like,
or even even PS4 to PS5.
PS4 to PS5, yes. But like, Xbox didn't. I mean, Xbox One, the Xbox Series did it that way too. But I'm just saying.
I can see his argument. Like, they can't sell, like, Jet Set Radio features, like, the big one, because like, that's what everyone wants, apparently, or people right. want. So I can understand that argument if they can't sell that game on the store because of, like, licensing issues, like the soundtrack.
Right.
I don't understand that argument if I have a fucking Jet Set Radio feature disc, in a, you know, sitting next to me, and they just released some Xbox emulator that can run it. That I pop the disc into my Xbox Series X and hit play and it goes.
Right. I don't know. I don't know if it's because they have to, you know, to order to do those enhancements.
Then
they have to do the licenses. Or
then don't do the enhancements.
Okay, but Sony didn't do it either, right? Nintendo didn't do it for the Switch to the Wii U or the Wii or whatever. It's like, again, what he's saying is in the future, all these companies should want to have legal emulation so people that buy these games could then be able to use it for systems.
Sure, but
in the future,
Sony, right? Jim Ryan doesn't care.
Nintendo wants to be able to make money off there.
Well, they just want to keep selling emulation. This shit over and over.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they just did it with the Switch expansion, online expansion thing. You know, They're probably going to sell that really well. You know, around Christmas time now because people are going to want to play those old games and whatever. But I agree with Phil Spencer in a way of like, it'd be awesome if we got to see this happen. Will it happen? I don't know. Again, these companies would have to stop being stubborn and really try to find a way to make, so you can find a way to make a profit off of it and allow legal emulation to happen off a game that, you know, you're about, well, they should have to pay a certain set of games or whatever. Like,
well, do you think, let me ask you this, because you're not a physical guy anymore. Right. Like physical games. So would you rather buy these games digitally, or if you still had a collection, what would you rather just use that?
Well, if I already bought it, then I obviously want to be able to play what I bought. Especially if you're going to start marking them up, right? Because, okay, if I bought this game on a sale for $10 physically, but then I have to go on the digital store and pay $30 for it.
Yeah, there was someone on Destructoid talking about that. I think Destructoid. About, like, he regrets going all digital distant narration because of Black Friday. Because, like, Judgment was $40 on PSN, but, like, $30 or $20 in a store. You know, the physical copy.
But that's how they get you to go in the store. Like, that's the point, though. Like, they do it because they know it'll drive people to go to the store and buy that for that extra $20 or whatever. Or at least to buy it physically online so that they can justify having the shelf space for those games physically, right? If they go and outdo what the physical stores do on those digital storefronts, they're going to get mad and the retail market's going to tell them, well, we don't want to sell your console. You're trying to kill us here.
I was going to say, like, I agree to his point in theory, but even like the way that Xbox does emulation, like, not good or not.
He understands that. I think that's why I think beyond Xbox, the 360 and, you know, whatever, I think he's going to make sure that once you're like the way it worked from Xbox One to Series X is the way he's going to want to make it work going forward. Whatever it is. Mark Cerny talked about all the stuff that they had to do to make sure that the PS4 games worked.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not easy to do. And it depends on like, how much of that stuff do you want to keep putting into the new console just to make these old games work that people may or may not play at all? So, you know, that's the thing is like game preservation is great. And I think it's a good idea. And I think it's a, you know, it sucks that we can't do that like we can with movies and especially music where we're just going to digitize it. And then now it's available on all these services, YouTube and whatever, you know, movies, similar thing, right? People can just rip a disc and then it's out there digitally.
To an extent, right? But like there are movies that are like only available to like on DVD. And it's like, why is there no Blu-ray or 4K version of like True Lies?
Well, because they don't want to pay that because we'll buy it, right? It's about making sure people are going to pay for it.
No, people, if believe me, there's like a good version of True Lies or The Abyss out there, people would buy it. You know, well, yeah. I mean,
I don't know about 4K HD, but yeah, Blu-ray probably.
Movie studios are getting away from physical to begin with, so they don't care about that anymore, or at least most of them.
Yeah, but at least most of them are available in some form.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they can put it digitally, yes, and it's there.
You can put in, like, the first DVD, like, fucking, run, you know, disc of whatever, and it'll run on your PS5 or Xbox Series X, but not the most pristine quality version there is that could be.
Right, but it runs. You can actually watch it.
Yeah.
Like the difference is the game. You can't play it without that original system. And that's the difference. Is like movies and music have made themselves to where they will be available on anything, right? Whereas games, it's like you're still, because of this or that or whatever, a lot of these games are stuck on that system, and they will always just be stuck on that system. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
Unless they find out a way with legal immolation or, you know, whatever that they wind up doing, you know, have to do something. That being said, is there any like one big thing you want to talk about that we haven't yet?
I still think Star Citizen is a huge scam. They just crossed over 400 million.
Yeah, no. Ridiculous.
Also, GTA still sounds like a disaster. It's funny that they're offering the old versions of the games for like the Rockstar launcher.
Yeah.
It's like, wow.
We're going to bring these back now because we upset you. Yeah, we're supposed to make you happy, but apparently not.
And it's only on the launcher. Like, if you bought the console, if you bought those games on console, you're screwed.
So, but,
yeah, way to go, Rockstar.
Yeah, that being...
They're like, oh, it didn't live up to our standards. It's like, what, you didn't play this game beforehand? Like,
apparently not. So, that being said, there are a few games still coming that are worth checking out in this first week of December. Solar Ash is coming to PC, PS4, and PS5. Of course, these are the Heart Machine, the folks that made why did I just go blank? I was sitting there saying it the whole time, and I in my head, and now I went indie game, Mark. Oh my god, it's a famous indie game. That looks
has Hyper Light the same, Drifter?
Yes, Hyper Light Drifter. The makers of Hyper Light Drifter, making Solar Ash. This has looked great every time I see a trailer. So I definitely want this. May definitely go purchase it. Chorus is also coming. This is a game that's been shown off a lot for Xbox Series. It's coming to the other console, PS5, Stadia, PS4, Xbox One as well. It's a flight shooter game. So,
I probably like that.
Yeah, that I've really been into it every time they show it. So I'm excited to see what it looks like. That Big Brain Academy, Brain versus Brain, is coming to the Switch. It's kind of like their new version of the Brain games that were on the DS and the Wii. Brain Age. That Danganronpa Decadence collection comes to the Switch. What is it? Happy Humble's Burger Farm comes to the Switch. That's that weird game that looks sort of like Doom, but you cook and it has the animals in a weird color. Yeah, and Disney's Magical World 2. I forgot about this game. It's coming.
I just saw they made another Siberia game coming out like a week and a half.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Wow. That is kind of crazy.
The last that last Siberia game also.
Well, yeah. The rest of the stuff will come out by the time before the next show of the week. So, yeah, definitely some stuff to check out for sure. Dauntless is also coming to PS5 and Xbox Series as well. We've been waiting to check those out on the new console. But yeah, some stuff that definitely is worth your while here if you've been waiting for some games to play. Of course, not very long. We have to wait anymore for Halo Infinite. Wolf's Stride and a few other games that are coming until we get to basically the stint for the end of the year. So we are starting to like start the process for Game of the Year stuff. Everybody's kind of, that's what I'm doing as well, like going through and playing some stuff that I missed. And we'll, you know, all, we'll probably talk about it more when we have Randy on next week. But yeah, so we'll be, again, we'll be recording Wednesday at our normal time if you want to watch live. And then it'll be out there on Thursday at some point. Randy will be on and we can talk about things and whatever's been going on in the news. Until then, everybody, thank you for joining us here. Thank you for listening, for watching. You can always follow us on Twitter at WTMSean and at HogMan80Plague. Until then, folks, we'll see you later.
Later.